Set Course by Roland Allen, narrated by Chanel Reed. The setting is an upscale jazz restaurant, Xavier Daniels, in an old warehouse district near downtown Buffalo, New York. The staff is finishing up a shift meeting. The owner-manager, Rudy, is making some final remarks. Amy, you have the main floor over lunch, and Joelle, you cover the counter, takeout orders, and outside on the patio. Okay, here we go. He approaches the front door and turns around the close sign to open and begins greeting the guests. A young couple enters first, Scott, 32, and Aaron, 30. Married almost 4 years, push a double stroller with two sleeping children, a toddler, little Peyton, and her new infant brother, Scott, Jr. Big Scott is a frazzled-looking design consultant with a large established firm, and Aaron is a busy doctoral student and mom. Both are regulars, having met at the restaurant when it first opened, when they were sophomores in college, seemingly an eternity ago. Hey, my favorite couple are here. I wouldn't miss your grand reopening for anything. We are so excited that you record the weekend's performances to show over lunch. I really miss coming out on Friday and Saturday evenings, Aaron said, nodding at the children. The owner nodded understandingly. Hey, it was your idea that we try it out, and you know what? It is working out great. Business is way up. Hey, your lunch is on the house for the family today. Aaron gives the owner a quick hug and leads the way to their usual table next to the low wood stage and glossy parquet dance floor. There was a large, new flat screen on the brick wall. Amy came over with their drinks already in hand and began gushing over the children. Behind Scott and Amy was a young woman, novel in hand. She smiled broadly and dipped her head at the counter seating. The owner welcomed her with a flamboyant wave of his arm toward a comfortable stool. I hear you have the best vegetarian lunch menu in town. We are very proud of the new menu offerings that we have added. Please come in and be prepared to be amazed, the owner winked. The undercover food critic took in the new decor as she set her bag on the stool next to her. Joelle, you have a guest, the owner called out as he headed toward the kitchen. Several other familiar faces arrived, and soon the low buzz of conversation and laughter, clinking silverware on china, and soft jazz dominated the atmosphere. A well-dressed man strode in and stood just inside the door, almost like in an old western. There was a quiet intensity about the man. Joelle was certain this was his first visit. She approached the man. Welcome to the Xavier Daniels, sir. How many are there today? The stranger had a slight French accent. I would prefer to sit in one of the booths towards the back. I am having a business lunch with only one colleague. Of course. My name is Joelle. Please follow me. Aaron stirred her hot tea as she casually observed the newest guest, who was being escorted by Joelle to a booth opposite their table. Not one overly concerned about fashion, she still recognized the perfectly tailored pinstripe suit, Cordovan leather wingtip shoes, and distinctive cologne as all being expensive. The man's eyes darted back and forth as he was led through the dining room, seemingly examining each face. His eyes locked on hers for a moment. Aaron, who was in the process of swallowing a sip of tea, felt her throat stop. The man took a seat. That cologne somehow seemed familiar. Aaron, are you listening? We need to talk. Her husband extended his neck and peered at her over his glasses. What I said was, we need to figure this out. My parents are moving back to Seattle, so we need to make some changes so the kids are being watched. Scott looked at her expectantly. Aaron was now fully engaged in the conversation. This is awfully last minute, Scott. When did they decide to move back to Seattle? Well, you know they have been planning an Alaskan cruise next month. Dad needs to finish up a business deal before they leave. What are we going to do? By we, you mean me, don't you? Well, you know I am too new at the firm to take any time off, and we both know that I don't make enough to afford a decent nanny right now, so yes. Scott, you know I am in the middle of my dissertation. I can't just stop what I am doing, Aaron said with alarm. Well, we are the parents, so we have to sacrifice whatever we have to, Aaron interrupted. There is that we again. Are you forgetting how I already sacrificed and worked so you could focus on completing your master's, and I continued to work while I was pregnant with Peyton, while you were looking for a job? After you found this job, you said that now it was my turn to complete my education, but you were never home anymore, which is why your parents stepped in to help. Now you expect me to just stop and set aside my dissertation? No way. Their infant son startled, woke up, and began to cry. Both parents leaned over the stroller. Erin scooped up Scotty, trying to soothe the child. In a practice motion, she reached up, unbuttoned her blouse, and pulled out a breast. The baby began to suck contently. Scott, reddening with embarrassment, glanced around the dining room. Looking up, Erin asked, "What's wrong with you? Do you have to do that like that? Do what, feed your son?" "Erin, we are in public. What if someone sees us? Like someone from your job? When did you become so prudish, Scott? When we were dating, you went to nude beaches and resorts with me lots of times, and now you are embarrassed by one bare breast? Would you prefer that we let Scotty go hungry so you will feel better? You're being ridiculous." "Am I? We have been coming here for years, and these people don't mind my breastfeeding. Why should you?" "Well, you seem to find a reason to flash the whole world these days. Is that what you call what I'm doing? Flashing? Scott, you used to brag about me as your hot girlfriend and fiancé. Now that I have pushed out 2 kids for you, you're ashamed of my body? I'm going to feed my baby whenever he needs to be fed, and as far as my so-called flashing, you know that I have been a nudist my entire life. You don't take me to any nudist resorts anymore, do you? New York state law provides women topless equality. I am just exercising my rights." "Scott, what happened to us? You told me that you loved everything about me, my quirkiness, my strong opinions. Now nothing I do makes you proud or happy?" Scott grew quiet, thinking about what had all just been said. His eye caught that of the man in the booth, who was talking on his phone and watching them. It had begun raining. A young man walked in carrying a saxophone, waving at several diners as he walked over to the corner of the counter next to the takeout register, setting the sax down. He froze when he saw the woman sitting at the counter, enjoying a salad platter next to her novel. The woman noticed the man and gave a bigger smile than one would have thought possible. Briskly walking over, she gave the man a hug around his neck and a long sensual kiss. "Well, what in the world are you doing here?" The waitresses looked at each other meaningfully. The man nervously, gently pulled loose from the embrace. I've been practicing for a gig. Thought I would take a quick break for lunch. What about you? You on the job?" "Oh," the woman squealed, ignoring his question. "So you found a paying gig? You must tell me all about it. Come on." She wrapped both of her arms around his bicep and led him to a table in the main dining area. Joelle, watching, unfolded her arms and placed the woman's plate and novel on her tray. "What does a woman like this read?" she muttered sarcastically. Something about the book was off, and she examined it more closely. The pages parted. It had a video camera tucked inside. Joelle was nearly at the table and quickly closed the book, setting it down along with the plate. The woman ignored her. The young man looked up apologetically. "Black coffee, please." The stranger in the booth ordered an Irish coffee, glanced at his watch, then placed his wireless earpiece in his ear and dialed out. After several rings, the voicemail picked up. He noticed the young couple with the 2 small children had begun to quarrel. The man redialed twice before a woman answered. "You must learn to pick up immediately when I call. I am not someone you want to keep waiting." The couple's infant had begun to cry, making it difficult to hear.
I'm sorry," the woman's voice trembled. I needed some time to think.
To be sure."
The young woman had begun to breastfeed the infant.
"You have accepted my terms, then?"
"Yes, I have."
"You understand at this point, there is no going back. I expect the money today."
I understand," the woman stammered.
"Very good. You will bring the money to me within the hour. I have messaged you my location."
The woman began to complain about the short notice when the man interrupted her.
"Your excuses are meaningless to me. I am due back across the border by tonight. I assure you by this evening there will be a body, and I will have my money. Then I will be gone.
Figure it out, he said, his French accent thicker. You have 1 hour to arrive. With a shock, the man realized that his waitress was standing just behind him at the drink station, behind the bar and disconnected. The waitress felt paler, but maintained a poker face as she walked around the counter and set down the mug and poured the coffee. She felt the man's eyes watching her. You remember, of course, that I ordered an Irish coffee. Oh, I am so sorry. Let me get that for you. No worries, the man said. But, excuse me, the man said, still trying to see into her eyes. I don't mean to complain, but that couple over there are interrupting my important business calls with their arguing. I can barely hear my client, and I don't even hear you behind me. Were you there long? Joelle's eyes widened ever so slightly, dodging the question, obviously a failure. Oh, my godchildren's parents? So sorry. I will tell them to settle down. She walked stiffly back to the drink station behind the bar. Your godchildren, really? The man said to himself, thoughtfully, watching the couple. The husband looked up and their eyes met. End of Act 1.